Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimeinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hi, this is John Edmiston from Insights for Eternity, where we teach those who teach others. So grab your Bibles, pens, and notebooks as we go through the Gospel of Luke. And today's passage will be Luke chapter 9, verses 37 to 45, the healing of the epileptic boy who had an unclean spirit. And it's going to be a fascinating passage, so get ready to know deeper the Word of God. And before we do that, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your Word, the Bible. We thank you that it instructs us in marvelous things about the spiritual realm and about salvation and about faith and about how you work in our lives. Now we ask that you will send your Holy Spirit upon this broadcast, that you will anoint this broadcast, that you will open our spiritual eyes and spiritual ears to understand your teaching that you have placed in your holy book. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we are, we're looking at Luke 9, 37 to 45 and the parallel passages in Matthew and Mark. And what we mean by a parallel passage is sometimes the same incident is reported in 2, 3, or even all 4 of the Gospels. And when we want to dig into the incident, see what Jesus is doing, we can compare and contrast the various different accounts, some of which have more detail and some of which have a little bit less. So here we are, we're looking at a terrifying situation. And let's look at the passage. Luke 9, 37 to 45. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him, and behold, a man from the crowd cried out, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, for he is my only child, and behold, a spirit seizes him, and he suddenly cries out, it convulses him, so that he foams at the mouth and shatters him, and will hardly leave him, and I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." Jesus answered, "O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." While he was coming, the demon threw him to the ground and convulsed him. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the boy and gave him back to his father. And all were astonished at the majesty of God, but while they were all marveling at everything he was doing, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let these words sink into your ears. The Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men." But they did not understand this saying, and it was concealed from them, so that they might not perceive it, and they were afraid to ask him about this saying. Now, in the Matthew version, it says pretty much the same things. And just at the end, it says, "And then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, 'Why could not we cast it out?' He said to them, 'Because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say that to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you.'" Now, in Mark's version, it's the longest version of the three, and it gives him a lot more detail. And then Jesus questions the Father. So he asks the Father, "How long a time has it been that is like this happened to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often it threw it both into the fire and into the water so that it might destroy him. But if you are able to do anything, help us and have compassion on us." Jesus said to him, "If you are able to believe, all things are possible to him that believes." And immediately crying out, the father of the child said with tears, "I believe, Lord, help my unbelief." And then he calls it a mute and deaf spirit. "I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." And it convulsed him greatly, and some were saying he is dead. But Jesus, having grasped him by the hand, lifted him up and he arose. And then in the end of the Mark version, he says, prayer and fasting is necessary. So let's put all these pictures together. We get all these picture details, and Jesus is talking about faith and about prayer and fasting and about moving into God. And so what are we looking at here with this act of deliverance? And let me first say, I do believe in deliverance. Deliverance is something that every Christian ministry should have as part of their armament, particularly for new believers or people just come to the faith from pagan backgrounds. They've worshipped idols. They've been involved in the occult. They've been involved in witchcraft. They've gone and done juju or something like that. They need to be delivered from all the evil spirits that have come into their life. And this little boy had an unclean spirit that was casting him down into the water, into the fire. Terrible epileptic spirit. Now, in this case, it was due to an unclean spirit. There are times when epilepsy can be due to a trauma on the brain or lack of oxygen at birth. It's a great mystery. But in this case, the epilepsy was due to an unclean spirit. Now, I don't want you to think that every disease comes from demons, but some diseases do come from demons. There's a time in which people were blind and the spirit of blindness would come out, or they'd be bent over and paralyzed, and the spirit that had bent over the woman for 18 years was rebuked and came out from her. There are all kinds of evil spirits that afflict people with diseases, and the spirit wants to bind that person up, wants to ruin their life, wants to terrify their family, and cause all sorts of pain and disruption. And you see, this unclean spirit was causing all sorts of pain and disruption for the father. He was crying in tears. He was begging. And this spirit was very intransigent. The disciples were trying to cast it out, and they could not. It was a deeply embedded spirit in the life of this young boy. And we find that there are deeply embedded spirits in people, in places, and in societies. And God challenges us to have the authority to cast out these devilish spirits that are ruining people, churches, villages, towns, cities, and entire nations. And God wants you to have faith that the spirit can be moved, that the mountain can be moved, that all sorts of things can happen in the spiritual realm. And so you need to be able to deal with the demons that afflict people with diseases. Now, we notice at some point here that Jesus rebukes the unclean spirit. When you're dealing with an unclean spirit, do not lay hands on the person, because the spirit can attack you in your body. This happened to me when I was in Papua New Guinea. I foolishly laid hands on someone who was very demon-possessed. A sort of electric jolt went up my left arm, and the next day I came down with very bad malaria, went to my brain, falciparum malaria. I nearly died as a result. The spirit tried to kill me, even though I was taking two different kinds of malaria medication, which should have done the trick. And despite all of this and my regular medication and everything else, and I hadn't got malaria before and I haven't ever had it since, but this was inflicted on me by a demon because I was foolish. And even as I reached down to touch him, I knew I shouldn't. And God said, don't touch him. But I kept reaching. I was in the middle of moving. I kept reaching down and I got the jolt up my arm and I got attacked by that demon. So don't lay hands on someone who is obviously demon possessed. Because the evil spirit can get a jolt into your body and cause all sorts of evil and wicked things to you. And this person was very demon-possessed. They were rigid on the floor. If someone is demon-possessed, rebuke the demon. You never see Jesus laying hands on a demon-possessed person. Jesus never does that. He casts out the demon with a word. He uses spiritual authority, and there is no point of contact involved, no physical contact involved, when you are casting out a demon. And that's a good precaution that you should take when engaged in exorcism. So we need to take on the demons that are behind sicknesses in our family, our church members, and we need to use spiritual authority. We need to rebuke them in the name of Jesus. But the disciples could not do so. And Jesus was very angry. He says, how long do I have to put up with you, you unbelieving and perverse or twisted generation? Now, why was Jesus so abrupt? Well, he was just about to end his ministry. He was about to go to Jerusalem and to the cross. He had been with the disciples for 3 years, and they were still stuck with casting out an unclean spirit? How could they move in the power of God? How could they declare the kingdom of God after his departure if they couldn't just deal with this epileptic boy, couldn't deal with his unclean spirit that was taking control of the boy, his family, and the surrounding community? They had to have a lot more power, and they weren't exercising that power because they were full of unbelief. Now, why were they full of unbelief? A seizure is an incredibly intimidating thing to behold. It's scary to see someone twitching on the ground, foaming at the mouth, casting themselves into a fire or water. It is something that puts a lot of fear into the bystanders. And so the bystanders look at it and go, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. And it creates a feeling of panic, fear, and terror. And fear is the opposite of faith. And in the face of the powerful thing going on, the writhing spirit, all that the unclean spirit was doing in convulsions and seizures and all that, and it seems to have been a series of seizures, one after the other, one in front of the disciples and another in front of Jesus as he came. So this child was having continuous seizures, which is very dangerous and very deadly. And everyone looking at that knew that this was going on, and they were terrified down to the depths of their being. And at this point, fear took over and faith fled out the window, and Jesus was incredibly upset with the disciples because they had blundered like this so close to the finish line. He was just a week or two away from going to Jerusalem and being crucified, and they were still lacking power in ministry. Now, power in ministry is very important to Jesus. If you're going to be an evangelist, a Bible teacher, an apostle, if you're going to go out there and do missionary work, he wants you to have faith and he wants you to have spiritual power. You are not to be powerless. You are not to be unbelieving. You are not to be intimidated by demons. You are not to be intimidated by the fearsome displays that demons put on just before they're cast out. You should have spiritual confidence. You should have faith. And you should be able to speak to the demon with authority and tell it to get out, stay out, and never come back. And in today's society, we have another problem, and then we say, oh, this is a medical problem, just ship them off to the doctor, when it's, in this case, obviously a demon, and everyone agreed it was a demon, and when they spoke to the demon, cast out the demon, the child was made entirely well. So the problem wasn't a medical problem. You can't speak to a medical problem and cure it like that. It doesn't end like that. This is a lifetime of seizures, and suddenly it was gone. This is the nature of the way that Jesus deals with things. One minute there's a problem and the next there's a solution. And the solution solves everything for all time. And so in the spiritual realm, it's binary, off or on. And this disease was on, but when Jesus spoke, it went off, it went away, and the cure was applied. And the child was delivered out of this situation with a word. So it was an unclean spirit. It just wasn't a normal disease with a path of disease. It wasn't a problem for a doctor. It was a problem for an exorcist. And we need exorcism to deliver people out of the diseases and demons and afflictions and mental problems that take hold of them. And you have to be able to operate in that power. It's an ordinary, everyday power that every pastor should have, but we are scared of it, or at least some people are. And you have to have the confidence that you are seated in heavenly realms with Christ Jesus, that you have been raised with Christ, that you are seated in heavenly realms with Christ, and he has given you authority. You are a partaker in his authority, and he has been given all authority on heaven and on earth. And that includes authority over demons, unclean spirits, and diseases. And you participate in that authority through the powers of the kingdom of God. So here Jesus is casting out this demon that was causing a lot of trouble, and he wanted the disciples to do the same, and he wants you in your ministry to do the same. Ministry isn't rational. It's not just about putting ideas in people's heads. It's also about putting faith in people's hearts. It's about pouring out the love of God to people. It's about healing the sick and raising the dead and casting out demons and cleansing lepers. Ministry is not just a form of theological education, though that is very important. We need our theology. We need to know what the Bible says accurately. But we also need to have spiritual power and authority to do the works that God has called us to do. And so some people might be called to be theologians. But as an average pastor or Christian worker who is at the coal face, who is there in the village, who is there in the church, You have to deal with people in the midst of their afflictions. And even this afternoon, I have a phone call after this radio show to deal with someone who feels they are deeply spiritually afflicted. And we have to offer them hope. We have to offer them power. We have to be able to deal with the diseases. Jesus was not satisfied with this situation until the little boy was healed. He was the only son of the father. He was the hope for the family. And this situation would not be solved until the unclean spirit was totally dealt with. And a lot of spirits are around the world causing trouble, and that trouble will not go away until the unclean spirits are dealt with. They might be in your family line. They might be drinking. They might be drugs. They might be a disease. They might be a paralysis. They might be some habit that goes through the family, like flash pan anger, where people are mad at each other, or unforgiveness, or a hardness of heart, an inability to be reconciled. And these come from unclean spirits and demons and fallen powers and principalities. And you need to combat them, for we combat not just flesh and blood, but the powers and principalities that are in the heavenly realms, and we are given authority for the tearing down of strongholds. And Jesus says that we need faith to do this. And he rebukes the unclean spirit because he has faith, and the spirit leaves him. And so here in Matthew's version, he said to him, they asked why he couldn't cast it out. And he said to them, because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. What's the mountain? And the mountain in this case was the mountainous problem of the young boy's disease. It seemed overwhelming. It is the overwhelming, mind-shattering problem. It might be debt. It might be all kinds of things. I had a huge debt problem a few years back, and it was overwhelming my wife and I, and I won't go into all the details. But I got hold of the Word of God, and I said, I used Zechariah 4, and I said, grace, grace to this mountain of debt. This mountain of debt is moved. And this mountain of debt gets out of my life, and now my wife and I are debt free. We used the Word of God. We had faith in the Word of God, and we cast out the spirit of debt and poverty over our life, and we rebuked it, and we dealt with it through the Word of God, and through God gave us wisdom and common sense, and suddenly we were debt free, and we praised the Lord for his deliverance. And so we've got to speak to the mountain. It says, move from here to there, and it will move. It will move under the power of the word of faith coming out of your mouth. You have to have faith. You have to speak to the problem like Jesus spoke to the demon. You have to have faith in your heart that the unclean spirit will be moved out of your family, out of yourself, out of your family line, out of your church. That unclean spirit, that great mountainous problem that has been embedded in your family line, speak to that unclean spirit that's causing trouble and cast it out so it cannot create fear, dissension, and strife anymore. So out of here, you spirit of pride, out of here, your spirit of division, out of here, your spirit of poverty, out of here, your spirit of disease, out of here, spirit of confusion, anything that's inflicting your family, speak to that mountain and tell it to move. We're not talking about physical mountains here, obviously. As far as I know, no one's ever spoken to a physical mountain. And it could be chaos if someone moves Mount Everest a little bit to the left and another person moves it a little bit to the right, we'd be in total confusion. This is a spiritual mountain. It's a huge spirit that's occupying a space in people's lives, that's standing over people and terrifying people. And that spiritual mountain has to be removed by the word of faith. And involved in this case, Jesus says, this kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. That is determination. That's speaking to the problem and putting in the hard work to come out. Now, here in Mark, Jesus gives a formal command. When Jesus saw that a crowd was running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to him, the unclean spirit, mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Now, there's a formula for you. When you're dealing with an unclean spirit, you speak to the nature of the spirit, mute and deaf spirit. Yeah. Okay, it's a mute and deaf spirit. It's not speaking or hearing. It's an obstinate spirit. And he says, I command you. You have to command the spirit. You have to speak a word of authority. Come out of him and enter him no more. That's important. Don't let the spirit go back into the person. Come out of him or her and enter them no more. So when you're doing exorcism, come out of this person now and enter them no more. Break the curse. Oh, curse over this person's life. I break you in Jesus' name by the power of the cross. I break this curse. Curse, go away from this person and come back to them no more. You have to take authority. I command you. Wherever we see Jesus working, he commands things. He says, little girl, arise. Lazarus, come forth. Storm, be still. Peace, be still. He's speaking the language of command. And you need to command things into reality. You have to speak them into being as if they were not. And you see this in the apostles as well. When they were at the lame man and the gate beautiful, Peter and John say, arise up and walk. And he rose up and walked and was leaping and praising God. So you have to operate in command authority. It's not just please, Lord, if you will, if it be thy will. That's not command authority. You're still afraid. You're still begging. God doesn't want you to be afraid. He doesn't want you to be begging. He wants you to be a person of command authority, and you're speaking to those problems and you are dealing with them with great power. And he wants you to have that power, and he wants you to have that authority. And he's going to change things in your life so that you speak with command authority over all these circumstances. But you must speak from a place of faith and not from a place of fear. Now let's go back in Mark's version of it. We find the Father. See, so he asked the Father, how long a time has it been that this has happened to him? And he said, from childhood. And offered threw him both into the fire and into the waters so that it may destroy him. But if you're able to do anything, help us and have compassion on us. And Jesus' reaction is very strong. And Jesus said to him, if you are able to believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And immediately crying out, the father of the child said with tears, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. And so here he is. Here is the father of the child. I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. He realized that the biggest problem in his life at that point was his unbelief. He needed to believe. And so he's going, he's saying, if I can do anything, of course God can do anything. And you've got to believe that God is capable. Not just that God is able, not just that God is omnipotent and he's theoretically able, but that God actually wants to help you in your situation. And here's the father of the boy. He's trying to have faith. And that's like a lot of us. We're trying to have faith. We're trying to believe because our experience has left us feeling helpless, has left us feeling beaten up and crushed. He's crying. His spirit within him is almost broken by the problem of his sick child. And we are there. We've lived with the problem day after day, month after month, year after year. And we're begging God and we're helping. But we've got to find the point of belief. We've got to find the point of faith where we believe that God is King of Kings and Lord of Lords and that he's going to act. And Jesus says to him, all things are possible to him who believes. So when you believe, the thing that has been impossible for you becomes possible. The thing, when you believe, the thing that has been impossible for you forever becomes possible. All things are possible for him who believes. And so that includes dealing with this demon. As the father believed, the power was unleashed, and Jesus was able to deal with that demon because of the faith of the father, and he opened up his heart, the power flowed through, and his child was delivered. And we have to put aside our skepticism. We have to put aside our naturalism. We have to put aside our fear. We have to put aside the sight of our own eyes, seeing the sun twitching on the ground, foaming at the mouth, and having seizure after seizure. In this case, in the midst of a chaotic situation, Jesus was demanding that the Father believe. The Father rose to the occasion and said, help my unbelief. He received help for his faith. And we can ask Jesus for help with our faith. We can say, Lord, I need to believe more. I'm struggling to believe in the way that I should believe. And so here Jesus is dealing with people of weak faith. Firstly, the apostles who are not yet up to casting out that demon, even though they should have been. And Jesus was furious, saying, how long do I have to put up with you? With the Father, he's not furious. He's just stern, a compassionate kind of stern. It says, all things are possible to him who believes. And eventually he gets it. And the disciples get it. And later on they say, why couldn't we cast it out? I said it needs prayer and fasting, it needs faith, you need to speak to the problem and so on, all the various answers that Jesus gave them at this time. When you are faced with a problem that you cannot solve, you have to reach the level of faith that solves that problem. You need to pray, you need to fast until you need to beg God until your faith rises up and God says, it's dealt with. This problem is going to be dealt with. And you've suddenly got faith. You suddenly know that you've broken through to the spiritual realm. You've broken through to God. It's going to be solved. And you know in your heart, this is done. This problem is going to be solved. This problem that has been so stubborn for so long that seems to have been a bit of a demonic stronghold. I was getting tongue-tied there. Anyway, when you look at that problem that seems overwhelming, it's your mountain. You can speak to that mountain. You can move to that mountain. You can say grace, grace to that mountain. You can say, mountain, you've got to get out of my life right now. If it's a mountain of disease or worry or stress or whatever, that mountain has to go. And you want to believe, you want to have the faith that Jesus is going to do that for you because Jesus is the divine problem solver. He's more than that. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He's the God of Gods. And he is going to deliver you from your situation. And you're going to be able to break the power of the demon that's holding your children hostage, that's holding your marriage hostage, that's holding your finances hostage, that's holding your church or your nation hostage. You will deal with that unclean spirit that has got into things and is causing strife, confusion, and all sorts of nonsense. You can rip those spirits out and you can say, be gone and do not come back. Spirit of division in my family, get out and do not come back. A spirit of sadness and lethargy over your life, be gone and do not come back. You can have power. You can have power through faith, prayer, and fasting, and by believing that the word of God applies to your situation. And you must command the situations to move, just as Jesus did, just as the apostles did, just as it has been given to you. All things are possible for him who believes, not just Jesus, not just the apostles, but all who believe. The things will become possible and you'll become a mountain-moving, faith-filled man or woman of God who can change the circumstances, who can deal with the demons, who can get rid of the unclean spirits, and can turn troubled situations into peaceful situations. This was troubled. This was awful. This was spectacular. This was frightening. But Jesus dealt with it, and you can deal with it too. This is John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.